Hallelujah.
Have your seat quickly. It's a midweek service. Midweek service. We'll go. Have a great time in the Word of God. Just like we have in the place of prayer. And we have in the place of singing unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Where did the idea of Sunday service, then midweek Bible study, where did it come from? Praise God. What do we do on Sunday? Are we here to play? Praise God. It just came to my mind, you know. Sunday service, then Bible study on Tuesday or maybe Wednesday. Well, every service is a time of prayer. It's a time of the word. Hallelujah. And it's a time of what? Singing spiritual songs. So let's turn our Bibles again to 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. Glory to God. God's word is life. God's word is powerful. God's word is transforming. God's word changes lives. Amen. So let's write. Let's begin to write. Last week, we began to carefully investigate the place of the Spirit. Last week, we began to carefully investigate the place of the Spirit. Last week, we began to carefully investigate the place of the Spirit in the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, to carefully investigate the place of the Spirit in the manifestation of the Spirit. Is it based on man's will or the Spirit's will? That's the question. Is it based on man's will or on the Spirit's will? God will investigate the place of the Spirit in the manifestation of the Spirit. Is it based on man's will or is it based on the Spirit's will? That is, we began to find out and to probe from scriptures. Does the manifestation of the Spirit depend on the will of man or the will of the Spirit? Praise God. What's the answer to that? Or both? Are you sure? Is it the Spirit or both? It's both. Hallelujah. Amen. The place of the will of man. Amen. Or the place of the Spirit. Is it man's will or the Spirit's will? Or both? Did we talk about having to see the place of our will also? Okay. So, what is the role of the Spirit? He gives. Hallelujah. Alright. So, let's keep writing. We have to always remember that Paul calls it manifestation of the Spirit. We have to always remember that Paul calls it manifestation of the Spirit. That is, it is not based on your smartness or intelligence or your wits. It is not based on the fact that you are so intelligent and you know how to, you know, navigate these things. No, Paul calls it the manifestation of the Spirit. Glory to God. And what did we say about manifestation? It's an exhibition, an outward show, an outward, you know, manifesting or appearing of something. So, Paul says it is manifestation of the Spirit. So, what is that? Praise God. That is, it is the Spirit working through us or finding expression through us. That is, it is the Spirit working through us or finding expression through us. Glory to God. So, write this again. That is, it is the Spirit finding expression through us or working through us. It is not based on man's intelligence. It is not based on man's intelligence. Hallelujah. And it is not based on man's smartness. It is not based on man's intelligence or on man's smartness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, sometimes, you know, when people emphasize the place of the man's will, you know, you have to be smart. You have to obey all this. We forget that in the prophecy of Joel concerning the last days, The Spirit was going to be poured out on all flesh, right? And then he mentions a category of people that would also partake of that Spirit and be able to walk in the things of the Spirit. He calls them maid servants and men servants. Hallelujah. Those were not guys that had any class in the society in those days. They were slaves. So that's the reason why Jesus would pick a man who was not educated in courts. By the way, when we say Peter was not educated, it doesn't mean today now if we put him in Nigeria, it will not just some people that went to school. In those days, some of those fishermen and who were involved in such works were educated and enlightened to an extent. They just didn't have a formal education. Amen. So, that's the reason why such a man will be mightily used of God. Glory to God. Because it is not based on your intelligence. It is not based on your own ability to be very smart, to know how to do things. No. It is based on the Spirit. Glory to God. We said earlier how that the charisma of the Christian are what? The things of the Spirit. So it is not that God looked at the man and said, this one, based on his wit or intelligence or wisdom, it can flow in the things of the Spirit. No. Hallelujah. You see, that's the reason why children can walk in it. Very young, naive, not exposed to many things, praise God, yet they know how to respond to the things of the Spirit. Why? Because it is not based on human intelligence. Hallelujah. It is based on what? The Spirit of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 to 11. Bible says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of knowledge, or word of wisdom rather, through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge, through the same Spirit. Amen. Is given to one the word of wisdom, to another the word of what? Through the same Spirit. Amen. Through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, an interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Amen. So it is one Spirit, right? The same Spirit at work in this person is the same Spirit at work in that person. Amen. Did you notice the phrase, distributing to each one severally as he wills? It's right there. Verse 11. Distributing to each one severally or individually as he wills. Glory to God. So let's keep writing. So, Paul isn't in any way suggesting that we do these things according to our will. Paul isn't in any way suggesting that we do these things according to our will, but that we are given the manifestation as the Spirit wills. But that we are given the manifestation as the Spirit wills. Glory to God. So Paul isn't suggesting by any means or chance that we do these things according to our will, but that we are given the manifestation as the Spirit wills. We're still writing. Such that in the manifestation of the Spirit, I am only to respond to the Spirit's will. Glory to God. In the manifestation of the Spirit, what am I meant to do? I respond to... Let's be more practical now. How many of you have... Okay, you've flown into the Spirit, and then you've had this experience while flowing into the Spirit, a sudden arrival of knowledge, what to do. It just came to you. It wasn't you trying to produce something. Something just came strongly to your heart, so strongly, and then you knew that was the Spirit of God. Let me see your hand. Praise God. A sudden arrival of knowledge. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Have you had that kind of
feeling before in a place that was not a gathering like this. Maybe in your house. Maybe in a bus. Anywhere. You've had that kind of feeling before. Yeah, it just came. A prompting. You know, we used to use the word, I was prompted. Hallelujah. You know, that's the reason why some Christians will say that. And this morning, and something told me, oh, amen. You were led to do something. You received a word for someone. Or maybe you were moved to pray and you did not respond. Then later in the day, you find out why you were, you know, you had that kind of burden or maybe prompting. And then you now say, and something told me in the morning, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. I remember one time I was walking out of the house and then we planned to wash the clothes. Wash our different clothes and dresses. That was in effect. So as I stepped out of the house to go and buy detergent, it was a very sunny and bright day. And it came to me strongly that it was going to rain and then it was going to mess up our clothes and all that. So I came back, I said, it came to me that it was going to rain. I'm not washing today. You know, it was a very bright day. Judging by the weather, I would just say, I mean, what's that? So, you know, so they washed their clothes. I didn't wash mine. Funny enough, it didn't rain until late in the evening. But, you know, every time, I didn't even remember the stuff that came to me. I had forgotten it. Until later in the night when it began to rain. Now, you know what? It will have felt as though, okay, that was needless. If they are taking off their clothes from the wire. But the clothes were there and we were on campus. And it was late in the evening the rain began. And by the time we came back, the whole place was messed up. Their white t-shirts, everything on the floor. And I said, you know, how did I receive that? I wasn't planning to. Praise God. In fact, what I was planning to do was to go and get detergent to wash. So based on my intelligence and will, what would I have done? To go and wash the dress. But I was given a different intuition, something contrary to my plan. Amen. And I followed that. And then I saw how that came to pass. So it happens in different times, at different times or in different places, where you just receive a direction contrary to your own will. Amen. Contrary to your own plan. That is the same way in the manifestation of the Spirit. It has to be based on what the Spirit desires per time. Glory to God. It depends on what? What the Spirit desires per time. Glory to God. So let's keep writing. But I were given the manifestation of the Spirit or manifestation as the Spirit wills, such that in the manifestation of the Spirit, I am only to respond to the Spirit's will. I am not to take the initiative in any way. I am not to take the initiative in any way. I am not to take the initiative in any way. I am subject to the will of the Spirit. I am subject to the will of the Spirit. Glory to God. Now look up. Is this so hard to understand? Is this so hard to live by? Amen. When I say, don't take the initiative. Be subject to the Spirit of Spirit. Be subject to the Spirit's will. If that is so hard for you, then that means you don't want to stay in your place. Amen. You know that's what it means? Then no. How should I be subject to the Spirit? In fact, some say, we are the Spirit. Glory to God. I am the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So, where was the Holy Ghost before we were born again? Hallelujah. If we are the Holy Ghost, where was the Holy Ghost before we got born again? Hallelujah. Maybe we had dual nature. We didn't know, or dual personality. We had the Spirit and we had... Those are reckless submissions. Glory to God. You are not the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Ghost. That is what the Bible teaches. I am the Spirit. So when unbelievers receive Christ now, we give you, who do we give them? We give you to them. Hallelujah. Does it make sense? So I'm meant to be subject. I'm meant to wait on His timing and just yield myself to His operations. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29 to 32. So you are not the Holy Ghost. Say to your neighbor, you are not the Holy Ghost. Say, you have the Holy Ghost. So there are two different things. Hallelujah. It's like saying God dwells in me. I am God. That's, it's like saying, because God just means, I am God. You are not God. You are a man of God. Hallelujah. And you know, that should be deep enough. Hope you know. Because many times people don't rejoice at the truth anymore. You have to stretch it. See, you are men of God. That's, yes, sir. You are men of God. Do you also know you are God? Yeah! The man is not excited until you stretch the truth. Hallelujah. What is revealed in scriptures is already deep enough for us. Let's just stay there. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14. Before you go and drown. Some people, they are dead. They are already drowning in the depth. 1 Corinthians 14. Glory to God. Now, we need to understand the essence of correcting things and setting things right. Without having the right knowledge, you cannot work in it effectively. Amen. You cannot. So this is not about just trying to punch a hole in somebody's theology. No. In fact, that should never be the motive for study. So that even in the days when you miss it, you are able to correct your own, you know, perspectives also and submit. So we must know. The reason for precise knowledge is because that is the only thing that will bet effectiveness. Amen. So if you get it wrong, forget it. It is already wrong. Amen. You know, when it comes to this knowledge, it's like wanting to go to Oshodi, and then you now face Kandus. Amen. Now, somehow, you may still be able to link, but I mean, I'm looking for a better example. It's like trying to go to the north and then face the west. Praise God. Or south. The moment you go that path, there's no way you are ever going to get to that destination. That is how it is with the things of spirit. And, you know, spiritual knowledge entirely, generally. That's exactly how it is. So that's the reason why when men don't have a precise knowledge of what salvation is, there's no way. Amen. There's no way. You can't be telling me, but people are still getting saved. The man says salvation is by works, but people are still getting saved. It's not possible. So you've missed it, and you will never get it right until you retrace your steps. Do you know you have to follow the map to go and retrace your steps when you miss it? Direction. One time, I think it was myself and Ojami, we were coming from an event, and we were trying to use command to get to this place. That's how we found ourselves on one Otter Road. You know, the way the map, Google map, would just be saying, on your way to Kinega, after 100 meters, turn right. It just lost us that night. And it was in the night. See, there was no other way around it. We had to retrace our steps. Amen. Do you know the meaning of repentance? Repentance, you will turn back. Hallelujah. That's what we did. And that's what people have to do with Bible knowledge. The moment you miss it, you have to repent. Go back and learn it well. Glory to God. So I just said to state that. That's the essence of probing things and investigating things and answering questions that are in the hearts of men. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29 to 32. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14, 29 to 32. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent, for you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are what? Subject to the prophets. Hallelujah. Let's write. The word revealed, we saw this last week, we'll write again. The word revealed is the Greek word apokalupto. So today I want to investigate that word. The word revealed is the Greek word apokalupto. Apokalupto. You can spell it with your knowledge of English. Hallelujah. You may just be right. Apokalupto. What does it mean? It means to uncover. It means to uncover. It means to lay open what has been veiled or covered up. To uncover, to lay open what has been veiled and covered up. To disclose. to disclose, to make bare or make known. To make bare or make known. They are all synonyms, just different words. Make bare, make known. Make manifest. Make manifest. Or to disclose what was before unknown. Disclose what was before unknown. It's translated revealed 22 times. Revealed. And it is translated reveal 4 times. So you have the past tense and the other one, reveal. Reveal 22 times, reveal 4 times. Glory to God. So let's write. For revealed, Matthew 10, 26. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. 11, 25. You get the drill. Matthew 10, 26, 11, 25, 16, 17, 16, 17, Luke 2, 35, Luke 2, 35, 10, 21, 10, 21, 12, 2, 17, 30, 17, 30, John 12, 38. John 12, 38. Romans 8, 17 to 18. Romans 8, 17 to 18. Make sure you switch off your phones or put on silent. Romans 8, 17 to 18. 1 Corinthians 2, 10. 1 Corinthians 2, 10. 3, 13. 14, 30. That's the one we just saw. 3:13, 14:30. Galatians 3:23. Galatians 3:23. Ephesians 3:5. Ephesians 3:5. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Second Thessalonians 2:6. 2:3, 2:6, 2:8. 2:3, 2:6, 2:8. 1 Peter 1:5. 1 Peter 1:5, 1:12, 5:1. 1 Peter 1:5, 1:12, 5:1. Then reveal. That's for revealed. Now let's write for reveal. Matthew 11:27. Matthew 11:27. Luke 10:22, Galatians 1:16, Philippians 3:15, Matthew 11:27, Luke 10:22, Galatians 1:16, Philippians 3:15. Now let's consider the relevant ones. Matthew 10, verse 26 to 27. Matthew 10, 26 to 27. Glory to God. So that's the word apocalypto. Paul says, if anything is revealed to another, let the first keep silent. Matthew 10, verse 26 to 27. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be what? Revealed. And hidden that will not be what? Now, how is this going to be done? Verse 27. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the what? On the housetop. So who is going to reveal it to them? What we just read now. Who is going to reveal these things to disciples? Jesus Christ. So can they receive the revelation and say, I got it by myself. Hallelujah. When a man says, I got the revelation, is it the source of the revelation? He's a receiver. Praise God. All right. Matthew 11, 25 to 27. Matthew 11, 25 to 27. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. You have revealed them to And verse 27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to what? Reveal him. Don't forget one of the definitions of Apocalypto. To reveal what is otherwise unknown. To uncover something. That is, it cannot be known. Praise God. So, that's the same word Jesus is using here. Nobody can know the Father except by revelation. Amen. This is very important. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 10. Revelation would always have to come from outside the man. Amen. Now, hold that very well, because I'm going to explain something. It will always have to come from outside what? It doesn't mean the man is not a carrier of God's Spirit. No, many times when we say, it didn't come from outside, it came from within me. It doesn't mean, when we say it came from outside of him, it means the man is not the initiator. He's not the source. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2, it didn't come from his senses or from his imaginations. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 10. Glory to God. Popular scripture. But I, as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who what? Who love him. Verse 10, let's read together. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Have you noticed? He says, eyes have not what? Nor ear, neither has it entered the heart of man. So how was it known? The Spirit revealed those things. So without the revelation, could it have entered the heart of man? No. That's the nature of revelation. So anyway, you find the word revealed, revelation used in the Bible. It is not something man can just stumble upon. It has to come from outside. God must be the revealer. Glory to God. Ephesians 3, 1 to 5. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Man will always be the receiver, not the initiator. And God will always be the revealer of these things. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read my, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been what? Revealed by, who revealed it? By the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Even the apostles could not understand these things until it was what? Revealed. They were taught. It was handed to them. Praise God. Philippians chapter 3 verse 15. Philippians chapter 3 verse 15. Revelation will always come from outside. Amen. Philippians 3:15. Bible says, therefore let us as many as are mature have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will do what? Who will reveal it? God. Amen. So that's the same word that Paul used. Let's write. In all instances, we see how a man cannot reveal these things to himself. In all instances, we see how a man cannot reveal these things to himself. A man cannot reveal these things to himself in all the instances. God will always be the initiator. God will always be the initiator. And man will be a recipient of what God reveals. God will always be the initiator. And man will be a recipient of what God reveals. Hallelujah. If man is the revealer, it is not a revelation. If man is the revealer, it is not a revelation. That is, if a man reveals it to himself, then it is not a revelation. Hallelujah. Do you remember that in 1 Corinthians 2, look up, 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, no one knows the things of a man except what? the spirit of the man within him. So what man can reveal to himself are things pertaining to himself. So he can't call it a revelation because it's your own. So the reason why we need a revelation concerning the things of God was because it was not our thing. So it has to come from outside. Hallelujah. Let's keep writing. Revelation is that which cannot be known except it is shown you divinely. Revelation is that which cannot be known except it is shown you divinely. Revelation is that which cannot be known unless it is shown you divinely. Praise God. So, at 1 Corinthians 14:30, Paul used that word to explain how prophecy is given. So at 1 Corinthians 14:30, Paul used that word to explain how prophecy is given. Hallelujah. It is revealed to the man prophesying. Did you notice that? Do you notice that when Paul used the word apocalypto, revealed, he was using it to explain how prophecy is given? Amen. Glory to God. Listen now. Do you know that many times there's a teaching, and when we get to those individual gifts, we're going to delve into this more. Do you know there's a teaching that says utterance gifts? The reason why they are called utterance gifts is because they don't come to your mind. They must always just proceed. They must proceed immediately from your mouth. So I want to give a prophecy. I don't have any fact in my head. Amen. What do? I just come and I begin to talk. I'm not talking from any knowledge, any information. I'm just talking. Why? Because it is utterance gift. So that means because it is utterance gift, it must just come through my mouth. It must not get into my mind. But you know, this destroys that. Hallelujah. So you mean when Agabus was prophesying, he didn't know anything? Do you know that the way Paul puts it at 1 Corinthians 14:30 is that he says, if anything is revealed to one, the first one should keep silent. So it has first been what? Revealed to you. You are speaking based on what? A revelation. And that was a prophecy. Glory to God. Let's look at it now. 1 Corinthians 14. The idea of, and listen, that's the reason why some people will come out and just be talking. Amen. Just be talking. See, whoever has said it cannot get into your mind is talking contrary to the scriptures. Do you know the first time or the only times that people prophesied without it entering their mouths? Old Testament prophets. And you know how those ones prophesied? It was not based on, it's not the same way we prophesy today. Have you noticed that in the Old Testament, sometimes men prophesied and they were not ready to, they didn't even know what they were doing. You see that thing you see in some white garment churches? Do you remember? White garment churches, someone just comes and he's talking and they are trying to calm the person. Calm down. The person is just scattering everywhere. Bible says Saul one day was going and the Spirit of the Lord came upon and he just began to prophesy. Some others now came and joined him and they also began to prophesy. So, that is not the way we prophesy today. In fact, that's the idea of the spirits of the prophets are what? Subject to the prophet. So, the Old Testament guys were not prophesying based on an understanding. Hope you know that it wasn't that Isaiah understood everything he was saying before he spoke it. He was moved by the Spirit. Glory to God. And then he communicated those things. Now that's not to say that they didn't understand that the Messiah was coming after they said those things. But they were not prophesying from a knowledge base. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God came upon them and they spoke. There were different times also where there was teaching. Just like Moses. You know, Moses had a teaching ministry. Praise God. However, many of the prophets prophesied as they were moved or carried by the Holy Ghost. I've shared in this place how that someone like Amos was a sheep breeder. And then he just came upon him. You know, when you look through the Old Testament prophets, and the books. You just see, son of man, prophesy. Prophesy to this kinigo. So, and then some others will say, and the Spirit of the Lord came, and the word of the Lord came to me. And so, do you get what I'm saying? So, many times when we say that, because it is utterance, it must not get into your mind, it must just come through your mouth, you are putting the speaker under unnecessary pressure. Hallelujah. Do you know why that is so? The only thing you don't understand, or you should not understand, or you cannot understand, is tongues. When it comes to communicating intelligibly, it must get into your mind. Praise God. It must get into what? For you to communicate intelligibly. Otherwise, we are going back to the Old Testament operation where the Spirit of God will suspend your reasoning and everything, and you just begin to talk. But that is not the operation of the Spirit today. Amen. So, that is the reason why Paul says the man can choose to keep quiet, he can choose to speak. He's not under an influence, he cannot stop. Glory to God. So, Paul says, if anything is revealed to another, the first can keep quiet. And he was talking about prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that the reason why some people write their prophecies? Amen. Write the word of prophecy. And then you get to read over and over. Later, sometimes you read again. Glory to God. And the things that are said are clearly communicated. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14. So, don't put yourself under unnecessary pressure. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 30. Let's all read together. But if anything is what? Revealed to another, who sits by, let the first keep silent. So, between the time when the man keeps silent for him, is there anything going on in the mind of the one that received something? Huh? Is there a knowledge of what to say? Yes. Not that you now stand up. Does not come. Praise God. I'm waiting. He's almost here. Praise God. Then you start talking. No. You stood up because you had something to say. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes it is so seamless. Under milliseconds, you can know what to say. So the revelation, I'm not talking about waiting for 30 minutes or 20 minutes to get full download. No. You know, when it comes to all these things, sometimes all you need is a line or a word, something in your heart. And as you begin to speak, you know what to say. Glory to God. And you now further expound on that which you received. So it doesn't take so long. But what I'm saying is something comes to the mind of the person. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you see, it's revealed and the man receives it for the church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's keep writing. So this means you don't suddenly want to prophesy. This means you don't suddenly want to prophesy. You don't suddenly want to prophesy because others are prophesying. This means you don't suddenly want to prophesy because others are what? Prophesying. It has to be revealed to you. It has to be revealed to you. Don't suddenly prophesy because others are what? It has to be revealed to you. Glory to God. Isn't that what Paul said there? If something is revealed, you don't just say, because they are prophesying, me too, I'll prophesy. You must wait for something to be revealed to you before you speak. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you notice that the way it's done today by some, you notice that you don't find it like that in scriptures. As I prophesy to you now, you must prophesy to me. Amen. Now imagine if that was how the early church operated. As Agabus was done prophesying, you know, Paul too would just stand up. Praise God. Did he do that? Did he do that? There was no need. Hallelujah. Paul too says, okay, have you done? Are you done? Hallelujah. Famine, Abi. Me too, I saw earthquake. Earthquake is coming to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And when it's done, Silas will also get up. Say, you are done. I saw blood. And then everybody has to say something. There's no need. Hallelujah. There is no what? There is no need. You are to speak only if something is what? Revealed. Hallelujah. And then look at this. Look at verse 14 again. Look at verse 31. Look at the order from verse 28. But if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in church and let him speak to himself and the world. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. Verse 31. For you can all do what? Prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And then that's where the idea of you all must always prophesy to yourselves. But that's not what he was saying. The idea is if you have something to say, anybody can prophesy. The whole church can prophesy. The whole church can walk in these things, but it must be based on the Spirit. Hallelujah. It must be based on what? The Spirit. So I'm not under pressure to perform. If you give me a word of knowledge now, I won't say, praise God. Amen. Don't worry. Before the end of this meeting, I'll give him a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and I'll give him, I will heal him. He's sick. Praise God. You know, you are just under pressure to show something. Who sent you? Amen. You know, the idea is, as I receive the word of knowledge, or maybe a prophecy, I should receive it humbly. Hallelujah. If there's no need for me to minister anything, I go my way, I receive it. It doesn't elevate him above me in rank. But, this guy, he's always giving me word. Praise God. I've never given him word in this church. Hallelujah. No, it's so bad. I must look for a way to address this. You don't need it. Hallelujah. I know they mock people for those things. He said, go deep. Praise God. Go deep. He's not deep. He was not able to give anything. Amen. Now sometimes you see the man praying, laboring in prayers. Nothing is coming. Because he's a faithful man. Hallelujah. But you just run ahead. Just give this one, give this one, give this. In fact, you can even give lifeless objects. What? That's how much is the whole thing is, you know, on your head. Hallelujah. It doesn't make sense. You are not under pressure to give a word. Hallelujah. You know, twice Agabus came and ministered in the early church. We saw that. It will be more than that. But twice we saw him minister in the midst of the saints. And nobody wanted to respond. They just obeyed the instruction. Hallelujah. The second time Agabus gave Paul a word. This man that holds this garment is going to, or this belt, is going to bound hand and foot. And Paul did not say, even you, praise God, even you too, wait, let me tell you your own. No, he said, none of these things moved me, and then he moved on. Because see, it does not reduce anything from you, or take away anything from you. Hallelujah. You have to receive it. Why? Because it is by the Spirit. It is not the man. Glory to God. Let's keep writing. Do you know this gives no room to the flesh? Or no room for the flesh? And cancels all kinds of suspicions. Do you know this gives no room for the flesh? And it cancels all kinds of suspicions. I'll explain to you. Suspicion. Amen. You know, the moment we say that, every of the manifestation is based on my will, or maybe on our will. It is something we initiate. Do you know what that does for us? Or do you know what that does to us? In a meeting like this, maybe as I'm rounding off the teaching, somebody has a word and comes out. Suddenly, because we have a mindset of he is the one initiating it, we can feel that he just wants to show himself. Hallelujah. That's the reason why we may have a teaching meeting and somebody has a word. I will say, teaching meeting. Is he not meant to know this is a teaching meeting? He wants to give a word. Amen. Because we assume he is the one initiating it. Glory to God. So you notice, people will not flow in any other meeting until we now say, let's come together. Praise God. Let's give a word to ourselves. Say, that one is Holy Ghost meeting. This meeting we're having tonight, whose meeting is it? Amen. Hallelujah. Is the Holy Ghost here tonight? Okay, so, but we have now put him in a Holy Ghost meeting. Hallelujah. And then in your house too, there's no word for anybody. God, I mean, it's not a Holy Ghost meeting. So it raises suspicion. I've seen people dismissed. In fact, sometimes very rudely. Says, I have a word. Word. Go and pray, Joe. Praise God. More like, you shouldn't have a word in this kind of meeting. You cannot be led in this meeting. Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? And you know, the person is well within his right to think that way because of the perception of how the things of the Spirit operate. He's the one in charge, so he just wants to show off. Amen. Do you know we can be in this meeting tonight and the Holy Ghost is going to say something through somebody to the church or to somebody in this church that will help the person tonight? Hallelujah. Tonight. One of the Sundays we were praying here and Remy gave a word about some people are going to be delivered from being electrocuted. It was not a Holy Ghost meeting. It was after a message in church like this. And she gave that word. And after the meeting, that day, 3 members of church escaped an electric wire that fell on that street. Praise God. Someone says, she didn't give the word, God would have still moved. Why then did God lead her to give the word? Glory to God. Do you know that word of knowledge was a deliverance? Amen. Do you know what that was? Working of miracles. So the word of knowledge was accompanied by the working of miracles. They will be delivered. And it was not a special meeting. Glory to God. So you see, I don't know who started the idea of Holy Ghost meetings, but I know it's been around for a long time. But I don't feel that we, I don't know the person's intention. So I think we are, in this generation, a lot of people have gotten to the extreme where it is now only in Holy Ghost meetings they can, you know, walk in the things of the Spirit. Sometimes only when the pastor says, minister to one another. Hallelujah. But you see, the operation of the Spirit is beyond all that. That's why you can be in your room and have a word for somebody. That's why you can be in your room and be led to pray for someone. I don't know if I shared this before. How that I was in my room one day and I was praying and suddenly I just saw a picture of one of my pastors back in Ife. A lady. I didn't see her in 2 years. And a picture came to me strongly. And the moment I saw the picture, I knew what to do. Hallelujah. What came to me was strong. Complications. It just dropped in my heart. Complications. This is somebody I had not seen in 2 years. And I responded quickly. I began to pray. In the name of Jesus, there will be no complications. Unknown to me, she was pregnant. Hallelujah. And then suddenly, the second day, I just saw on people's DPs, bouncing baby boy, congrats, Pastor this and I. What? Amen. It was not a special meeting in church. The operations of the Spirit go beyond all that. Hallelujah. So it destroys all kinds of suspicions and then it eradicates the flesh. It gives no room for the flesh. Amen. Nobody is trying to show himself or appear like a superstar. If I give you word of knowledge, it is not because I'm trying to prove to you that I'm flowing things of the Spirit. It is because the Holy Ghost will have me do that for your edification. Did you get that? That's it. So we don't rate anybody in the meeting. You come for a meeting, you give a word, you give 9 words. 9. Another person gives 2. You say, this man is a great power of God. They will look at you and say, you better up your game. It's unnecessary. Hallelujah. That one is flesh. Doesn't make sense. It's not in scriptures. Let's keep writing. Hallelujah. So we also have to explain the phrase, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So let's write. This is about maintaining order and peace. This is about maintaining order and peace while prophesying. This is about maintaining order and peace while prophesying. You know, He already gave the instruction, let the first hold his peace, at verse 30. And at verse 33, he says, God is not the author of what? Confusion. Confusion there means disorder, commotion. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So when he says, the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, that's what he was talking about. The prophet has control over the timing of his speaking, not the revealing of the prophecy. The prophet or the man prophesying has control over the timing of his speaking, not over the act of revealing the prophecy, or maybe the message itself. He has control over the timing. That is, I don't determine what to say. I only determine when to say it. Glory to God. I don't determine what to say. I only determine what? When to say it. And add this also. I can also determine how to say it. The prophet or the man prophesying determines the timing of his speaking, has control over the timing of his speaking, not over the revelation or the content of the prophecy. He only determines the timing of the speaking, not the message itself. Hallelujah. So it doesn't determine what to say, it determines when to say it. And sometimes it determines how to say it. Amen. So that's the reason why some people will give a word and another person will come and give almost the same word and you see a difference. Glory to God. Someone receives a word, maybe this sister is about to get married to a wrong person. Amen. And then receives that word and say, sister, don't do it. Don't do it. Did you hear me? Don't do it. Praise God. And the sister is afraid. Do you know what I'm saying? She says, I don't know. Don't do it. I see a man, in the next few months, you and the person will be one. Don't do it. What is all this? And that person comes and says, you want to get married? It's the wrong person. Did you pray about it? I perceive strongly by the Spirit of God that this person is not right for you. Praise God. I think that you should seek the Lord more, seek the face of the Lord, ask. God will lead you, God will give you direction. And the sister said, really? Wow. So the first one scared the sister as though it was beyond the message. So he can determine the how. Glory to God. Agabus gave information and was time, I have to demonstrate we built. Amen. Another person will give the word and just like that, just go. Another person can be very dramatic. Glory to God. Some people will call you out like they want to fight you. Amen. Somebody in this place, you've been having nightmares. Can you come out? Where are you? Run here! I say, my God. Isn't that a nightmare itself? Hallelujah. So, the man can determine the when, the timing of the speaking, and the how. Praise God. But then he has no control over the message itself. Let's see 1 Corinthians 14, 26 to 28. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 to 28. Glory be to God. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for what? Edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. And if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to who? And to God. Hallelujah. Now, verse 26 is my focus tonight. When he says, each one of you has a psalm, as a tongue, as a what? Teaching, doctrine, revelation, as what again? Interpretation of tongues. Let all things be done for what? Edification. Does it mean as we are here tonight, all of us have all these things to minister? Or was Paul talking about a church that was having that as a norm? Hallelujah. Was Paul writing to the Corinthians because that was their norm? Or every church, as we gather here tonight now, we must all have psalms every time we gather. Is that what he was saying? Huh? Glory to God. Was Paul saying that every time we gather, we have tongues, psalms, all of us, each one of us? Amen. Is that what he's saying? Because if that's what he's saying, then we are falling short. Hallelujah. Is that not it? So that means on Sunday, everybody must give psalm. Everybody must give instruction. Doctrine there is didache. It means instruction. It is not doctrine as per teaching scriptures. It's to have an instruction maybe for the church or for somebody. So everybody must flow in psalms. So on Sunday now, we must have over 50 songs. Praise God. In the church. That's so great, Abby. But it doesn't happen that way. Praise God. Now, then all of us must walk in tongues and revelation and interpretation and every other thing. That's not what Paul was saying. Glory to God. In fact, as it is, the Corinthian church already had a gathering where they had these things in operation. So if you look at Paul's letters very well, Paul was giving them prescriptions for orderliness. And he was showing them the right motives behind working in these things. You know, apparently some of them were giving tongues to their fellows in the church without interpreting. Glory to God. So also what he mentioned about the prophets, those things were things happening, you know. That, you know, when something is revealed to you, wait for the other person. So I mean, as the person is giving, another person just stands up. Yay! And then begins to talk. Another person stands up there. There was disorderliness in the, you know, operations of those things. Glory to God. And that was partly due to just their immaturity. So that means the Spirit can reveal something to you while somebody else is ministering. It doesn't mean that it's the time to get up. So the problem was not with the Spirit. It was with them not understanding that there can be orderliness. You can wait for the next person. Glory to God. So that was it. Hallelujah. So, and then I'm looking at this other word, revelation, used at 1 Corinthians 14. Revelation. We'll still come back to 1 Corinthians 14, 26, well, and talk about it. Does it mean in every meeting you must have a psalm, a tongue, an interpretation, and all that? Glory to God. In fact, you know, let me quickly say this. Without much ado, if you read just down, you already discover that in the same meeting that Paul just spoke about, in that same meeting, it's possible a man does not have an interpretation. You know it's there. Is it not there? Let two or three. It says if there's no interpreter, do what? Keep silent. So that means it's possible that in a meeting, a man does not have interpretation of tongues. Praise God. He also says, if something is revealed to one prophet, let him speak. And, you know, let two or three prophets speak and let others do what? Judge. So in the meeting, doesn't mean everybody present is going to prophesy. So look at those things carefully. Praise God. Otherwise, you just have You have a mechanical approach to these things. And then you see, as we are here tonight, all of us must give psalms. Praise God. All of us must give prophecy. All of us must give interpretation. That's not what Paul is saying. Amen. That's not what he's saying at all. Glory be to God. We are going to be given what is needed for the other person. So, you would minister based on the leading of the Spirit giving you. I'm going to minister based on the leading of the Spirit giving me. Glory to God. We can have 10 meetings or 20 meetings, and in all the 10, 20 meetings, you've ministered all the things of the Spirit. Amen. Not that in every meeting, you want to minister all the things of the Spirit. It doesn't even make sense because sometimes the gathering can be very small. Are you aware? You can have just five people. in a gathering, or 10. Sometimes you may have just 3 people. So in that gathering of 3 people, you want to do miracle. Praise God. You want to do gift of healing. And sometimes in the old gathering, the 3 people, nobody speaks. Praise God. But you want to minister healing to the person. Say, no, maybe not this way. I can minister to the person's brother that is not in the meeting. Praise God. That's also possible. Then I give word of knowledge. Then I give word of wisdom. Then you now crowd the whole thing. It gets to a point. You just discover you are just being mechanical about it. Glory to God. Do you also know that there can be a meeting where there is no need for any gift of the Spirit? Hallelujah. Do you know that's also possible? You come for a meeting and there is nobody giving word of knowledge. And the Holy Ghost was in operation. Glory to God. So, you see, it's not about you trying to take an initiative. In fact, we used to use this word that you are not meant to, what's the word now? Premeditate. You're in the meeting tonight. I'm going to flow. You are not meant to premeditate. So we're going to see our role and, you know, the place of our will very well tonight. What is God expecting from us? Hallelujah. What is God expecting from us? If it is given by the Spirit and I'm only a receiver, then what is God looking for? How do I cooperate with the Spirit of God to receive things? So look at 1 Corinthians 14:26 again, the word revelation. The word revelation, you know, we saw how that the word revealed is apocalypto. The word revelation, yes, the word apocalypsis. Apocalypsis. You know, it means almost the same thing. It means to disclose something or to make something known. Apocalypsis. To make something known or to disclose. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You find this at Romans 2:5, Romans 16:25, where this word is also used. Everywhere it is nothing initiated by the man. Romans 2:5, Romans 16:25, 1 Corinthians 14:6, 1 Corinthians 14:26. Galatians 1:12. Galatians 2:2. Ephesians 1:17. That's where Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ will give you what? The Spirit of revelation, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He will give you insight. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 3. Ephesians 3:3, 1 Peter 1:13, Revelation 1:1. Hallelujah. So you see, this is also about something received. You are not the initiator, you just receive it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That is the same word used as 2 Corinthians 12:1. Where Paul says, I will come to visions and revelations. I know a man who was caught up to heavens. Whether out of the body or in the body, I do not know. 2 Corinthians 12:1. Doubtless I'll come to revelations and visions. 2 Corinthians 12:7. Because of the abundance of the revelation that was given me, a thorn in the flesh was given unto me. Hallelujah. So you see, something that comes from outside. Let's see Acts of Apostles 2:17 also. Acts of Apostles 2:17 to 18. Acts of Apostles 2:17 to 18. We are still explaining and seeing how the operations of the Spirit or the manifestation of the Spirit is given. It is not by your doing. It is not by what you want to do. It is not by your own premeditation. It is by what? The Spirit. Acts 2:17 to 18. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants, on my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall what? Prophesy. Did you notice how this is rendered? Amen. Why do people get this one and they miss 1 Corinthians 12? Because if we are to go by the rendition strictly, it will mean what? Look at your Bibles. If we are to go strictly by the rendition, what do you think it's going to mean? It will mean your sons and your daughters can what? Then your young men alone will see visions. Praise God. Abi? And your old men alone will do what? Will dream dreams. Is that not the rendition? Alright. So, you know, but that will be far from the intent. So just like 1 Corinthians 12, to one to another, it's just a manner of speaking. It doesn't mean it is only old men that will dream dreams, or only young men that will see visions. John was already very old when he saw Revelation. Praise God. So it's just a manner of speaking. Now, if you look carefully at Joel's prophecy, you notice he mentions prophecy, visions, and what? And dreams. Right? Prophecy, visions, and dreams. And we've seen how prophecy comes. It has to be revealed. In Joel's prophecy, he mentions prophecy, visions, and dreams. And we've seen how prophecy comes. It has to be revealed. Glory to God. It has to be what? Revealed. The one prophesying doesn't determine what is to be said. It determines when it is said. Determines when and how it is said. The one prophesying doesn't determine what is to be said. It determines when it is to be said and how it is to be said. Now, let's further, with the same mind now, consider visions. How does vision come to men? Glory to God. How does vision come to men? Right now, we're going to consider both the saved and the unsaved. Accounts of men who saw visions. And, you know, some of them were saved, some of them were unsaved. Prophecy has been settled, right? How does prophecy come to the man? It must be what? Revealed. The man must wait for a revelation. Now, for visions, Matthew 17, 1 to 9. Glory be to God. Matthew 17, 1 to 9. Hallelujah. Matthew 17, 1 to 9. What do we find there? Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Now, what was this actually? It was a vision. That's why if you get to verse 9, can we all read together? Want to go? Now, as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the what? The vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. See, there was no way Elijah and Moses would have been, you know, there physically. It was a vision. Amen. Now, let's see Luke chapter 1, verse 22. Luke 1, 22. Luke 1, 22. But when he came out, he could not speak to them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. This was about Zechariah. It was in the temple. Bible says they perceived he had seen a vision. This was an open vision. An angel of the Lord appeared to him. Hallelujah. Acts of Apostles, chapter 9, verse 10 to 12. Acts of Apostles 9. Verse 10 to 12. Glory to God. Acts 9, 10 to 12. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So how did Ananias see the vision? Was he planning to see? The vision came to him. Who was talking to him in the vision? The Lord. So imagine in that vision, the Lord was speaking to him. So there's no way the vision could have been a result of Ananias' own initiative. He wasn't even ready for it. Glory to God. So, but that vision came to him. And, you know, Jesus said to him that even Paul himself had also seen in a vision that a man was coming. Glory to God. You know, at this point in time, Paul was not even a mature Christian. That was the beginning. And he saw a vision. So nobody had taught him how to even see a vision. Are you aware? Nobody had taught him how to exercise these things. No. It is the Lord's prerogative. Is this clear? That is, for a man who is just starting out, had had no foundation class, no, you know, advanced course or anything, for a man like that to see vision accurately, it says a lot. Because it is the Spirit's prerogative. Glory to God. Let's move on. Acts 10, 17 to 19. Acts chapter 10, verse 17 to 19. Now, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down with them and doubt nothing, for I have sent them. So, Peter saw a vision. How did he see the vision? Was he preparing? No. He gives us an account at Acts 11:5 of what happened. Acts 11:5. He wasn't willing to see a vision. He wasn't ready. In fact, the man was hungry. Praise God. Hungry and waiting to just eat. Acts 11:5. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. Praise God. You know, the account of Acts 10 says, he was ready, and while they were preparing the food, he went to the housetop to pray. So he wasn't even ready for ministry at that point. He wasn't ready to give a word to anybody. But he saw a vision by the Lord. Amen. So you see, he wasn't ready to minister, but God had plans for him to minister to somebody. And that was the reason for the vision. And I said last week that if the household of Cornelius and Cornelius himself, if they were Jews, that vision would have been unnecessary. I hope you know. The reason why the vision came was to prepare Peter to respond to the household of Cornelius, because they were Gentiles. And there was a custom in place that made it difficult for Jews to comply with Gentiles. So that was what the vision came to correct, his perception. Otherwise, Peter would have had a hard time going with them. That's if he was going to go at all. It was the vision. Amen. So you see, the vision came as a necessity. So the things of the Spirit is not trying to just show off. It came as a necessity. It was needed. Glory to God. Acts 16, verse 9 to 10. Acts of Apostles 16, 9 to 10. Praise God. Acts 16, 9 to 10. Bible says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Glory to God. Now when did Paul see this vision? Look into your Bibles. When exactly did Paul see the vision? Look at verse 6 to 8. What happened there? You know, they had just been forbidden to go to some regions to preach. So that means they didn't know what to do next. And then in the night, the Bible says Paul saw a vision of a man that was calling for help. And then they concluded, you know, that was them being wise enough to respond to that leading. That, oh, the Lord must be calling us to Macedonia to come and preach. Glory to God. Look at the next one. Let's see. Okay, that's all. Okay. Sorry. Next one, Acts 18, verse 9 to 10. Acts 18, 9 to 10. That's the last one. See how visions have been happening, oh, glory to God. See how visions have been coming to men. Not as their own initiative or will. They were only recipients of the visions. It came at odd times for some of them. They were not prepared. Acts 18, 9 to 10. Bible says, now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you and no one will attack you to hurt you. For I have many people in this city. This is a vision to Paul by the Lord. And what was the vision about? To make him stay in that place. Was that vision necessary? Yes. You know why? Because Paul was facing persecutions and then he would move from place to place. And then the Lord had to specifically let him know that there were lots of people, that is, a lot of people were going to believe the gospel in that place. Glory to God. And then he stayed. Do you know at verse 11 to 17, eventually Paul got into trouble and they dragged him to the court. But you know, they dismissed the case. Glory to God. Because of what the Lord had said to him. So let's write. Have you also noticed now that visions came without the expectations? Have you also noticed now that visions came without their expectations? That is, they weren't trying to see. They weren't trying to see. Visions came without their expectations. They weren't trying to see. It is God's prerogative. It is God's prerogative. Hallelujah. Listen now. You know, that's the same way you can't just choose to dream. Amen. Can you just, this night, say, I'm going to dream. Amen. How many of you are in the habit of doing that? I just want to dream. Tonight, I'll dream. Praise God. Then you sleep and you have a dream. Now, if you have dreams like that, something is wrong. Amen. It may be that your mind is just playing tricks on you and it will produce something. Dreams just come. Amen. The most authentic and, you know, powerful dreams come when you were not planning. You were not planning to have a dream. That's the same way. Visions, prophets, it's not the man's initiative. Glory to God. Let's keep writing. So in all these cases, particularly the instances of saved men, their will was only seen in their obedience. Where? In their obedience. Hallelujah. Their will was seen in their obedience to what they had received and seen. That is, their will did not determine what and when things are to be seen. Their will did not determine what or when things are to be seen. They simply responded and obeyed. Glory to God. They simply did what? Responded and obeyed. Look at the case of Ananias again. You know, if it was your will, you trying to jumpstart something, you won't be arguing, I will not go. Eh? This guy. You know, he was not willing to go. Are you aware? He was not willing to go. I've heard so much about this man. How that he has, you know, persecuted disciples. Ah, no. So, the instruction that was given to him in that vision was not something he was ready for, but he had to obey. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, it's not your will. Let's keep writing. Their will did not determine what and when things are to be seen. They simply responded and obeyed. So far, what role has vision played? Let me hear from you. So far, what role has vision played? Huh? Meeting it. What role has vision played so far? Instruction. I'm looking for a more exact word. No? What role has vision played so far? In all the instances, when they saw a vision, a man from Macedonia calling us, what was that? Direction. Hallelujah. Guidance, right? Direction. That's the role it has played so far. Hallelujah. So, let's write. Does it make sense to say you are guiding and directing yourself? Does it make sense to say you are guiding and directing yourself? It is clearly the Spirit's prerogative. Hallelujah. It is clearly the Spirit's prerogative. Does it make sense to say you are guiding and directing yourself? It is clearly the Spirit's prerogative. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is, you can't say, let me just get guidance now. Hallelujah. If there is no need for guidance, you don't have to. Glory to God. You know, that's the same way the Spirit gives another person guidance or direction through you. Now, you are not the one to determine to guide or to direct the person. Because as a matter of fact, you don't even know. You know, nobody knows the things of the mind except the mind. So you don't even know his affairs. You don't know what he's planning. And unless you are living together or maybe you are so close. So it will take the Spirit for me to give him guidance. Hallelujah. It will take the Spirit to do what? To give him guidance. Look at Acts 13. For instance, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost now said, separate to me Paul and what? Barnabas. So, that was guidance for the ministry. Direction. By the Spirit. The timing of the assignment. This is why we have to rely on the Spirit. Listen, say after me. I am not that intelligent to know what is needed at all times. You know, by the time you assume that position, you are acting like you are omniscient. Hallelujah. You're acting like you are omniscient, like you are the omniscient one. No! You are limited in knowledge. Listen, you are so limited in knowledge that even things that pertain to your own life, some of them you have forgotten. Amen. Sometimes it is by word of knowledge, people will help you find something in your own life. And you think about it again. You now remember. You are not that knowledgeable to know many things. Your mind will blow. Hallelujah. So you must rely on the all-knowing one. That's the Spirit. God knows all about me tonight. In the same way, knows all about this man. In the same way, knows all about that man. Knows all about that woman. Tonight. So, what should we rely on? I would rather rely on God's infinite knowledge and wisdom to minister to this person. Glory to God. Than to want to just do it by myself. No. Doesn't make sense. Let's keep writing. That is why there's such a thing as being filled with the Spirit. That is why there's such a thing as being filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. That's why there's such a thing as what? Being filled with the Spirit. There's a school of thought that says everywhere people are filled with the Spirit, it is because they are giving utterances. There's a school of thought that says every time or everywhere people are being filled with the Spirit, it's because they are giving utterances in tongues of prophecy. We'll see whether that is true. There's a school of thought that says everywhere people are filled with Spirit, it's either they are giving utterances of tongues or prophecy. We'll see whether that claim is true tonight. Hallelujah. We're still writing. The phrase is filled with the Holy Spirit and full of the Holy Spirit appear in the New Testament. Okay, are you lost? There's a school of thought that says everywhere people are filled with the Spirit, it's because they are giving utterances, tongues of prophecy. We'll see whether that claim is true. And then I said, the phrases filled with the Holy Spirit and full of the Holy Spirit appear in the New Testament. And there are different words translated filled. Filled or full. F-U-L-L. We have the Greek word P-L-E-T-H-O. The Greek word P-L-E-T-H-O, which is a verb. I don't want to give you a wrong pronunciation. P-L-E-T-H-O, and it's a verb. It means to influence. Hallelujah. That particular word means to influence, and it's a verb. This is why I'm mentioning the verb. It means to influence. So, this is strictly being under the influence of the Spirit. Praise God. Its significance as a verb is that it was the Holy Ghost that influenced those actions. Glory to God. When we say the man was filled by the Spirit, it means it was initiated by the Holy Ghost. This particular one. Hallelujah. And you are going to see it in all those verses of the Bible. This particular feeling is initiated. It's not a state. It's an action. You are moved to do something. Praise God. We'll see the other one that is a state. But this particular one, it's a verb, and the significance is that you are moved by the Spirit of, you are influenced by the Spirit to do something. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's see. Luke chapter 1 verse 15. Praise God. Bible says, for it will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. He will be filled. He will be influenced by the Spirit. That is, this was about John the Baptist. It says he's going to be filled with the Spirit. He's going to be influenced by the Spirit. Hallelujah. And this is particularly about his ministry. So John the Baptist ministered by the power of the Spirit. He was influenced to minister by the Spirit of God. Look at Luke chapter 1 verse 41. Bible says, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 42, what did she do? Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then, you know, so she gave an utterance, right? So she was filled with, so she was moved to give that utterance. So in this case, she was filled with the Spirit in the sense that she was moved to give an utterance. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 1:67. Glory to God. Bible says, now his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. So this is also about what? Prophecy. He was filled, he was influenced. Anywhere you see the word filled in these verses, just put the word influence. He was influenced by the Spirit to prophesy. Hallelujah. Look at the next one. Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 4. Acts 2:4. Glory to God. Acts 2:4. Anywhere you find this particular word used, it's a verb. It means there's an action that was influenced. Acts 2:4. Bible says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to do what? To speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them. They spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. So they were moved to speak in other tongues. Glory to God. Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. Acts of Apostles 4 and 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good man or a good deed done to this helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all that and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man stands here before you all. So Bible says Peter was what? He was filled with, and he did what? He spoke to the rulers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what was the Spirit influencing him to do here? To give a defense of the gospel, right? So it wasn't just about tongues or prophecy. You can be moved by the Spirit to also speak, give a word, or to preach, or to defend the gospel, right? Acts 4:31. And we're going to see that account again. You know, because Jesus spoke about it to them before his ascension. He told them about that operation of the Spirit. Acts 4:31. Praise God. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with what? The Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. So, what did the Spirit move them to do here? To preach. The same thing. To preach. Look at the next one. Acts 13:9. This one is quite bloody. Praise God. It has caused a lot of controversy, but just receive it. Praise God. Acts 13:9. Glory to God. Let's all read together. Then Paul, who also is called Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with what? What did he do? Looked intently at him and said, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, Kilode, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" Verse 11. "And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." What did the Spirit influence him to do here? To make a man blind for a season. Hallelujah. Just a season. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God can move us to speak tongues, Abby, give tongues, utterances of tongues, prophecy. It can move us to give a defense of the gospel. It can move us to walk, you know, miracles. You know, that was a sign. Do you know? That's a sign. That's one of the things they classed as signs and wonders in the early church. Alright. So back to Acts 4. Glory to God. Acts 4. You know, I told you, Jesus already told them something about this. So if you go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. Jesus already described what Peter did at Acts 4:8. Matthew 13:11. Matthew 13:11. You know, I find it difficult to explain that account away. What we just saw, Acts 13. I find it difficult to explain it away. Do you know why? Because he says he was filled with the Spirit. He didn't say Paul filled with indignation. Praise God. He said Paul filled with the Spirit. Said the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. Amen. So, I mean, in serious palaver, we can't explain filled with Spirit away and then get to the hand of the Lord and say, no, he didn't mean the Lord. It's so hard. Praise God. So let's receive it. Praise God. Do you have the capacity to receive it? So receive it. Hallelujah. So by next week now, you can come and say, "Pastor, as I was preaching, somebody was trying to disturb me. I said, the hand of the Lord will be upon you." And you didn't see for a season. Praise God. In this place, we'll take short testimonies. Hallelujah. Matthew 13, verse 11. Glory to God. He answered and said to them, Matthew 13. Okay, that's not where I wanted. I think we saw this last week. How that Jesus said to them that when they bring you before kings and rulers and chief priests, they'll bring you before kings and all that, before the synagogues. He says to not premeditate what you shall say, but in that hour it shall be what? Given to you. Do you remember? There's a verse of the Bible like that. You can find it quickly. Amen. I don't know how Matthew 13:11 got here. Glory to God. So, but if you find it, let us know. So, you see, that was by the Spirit of God. It wasn't based on Peter's initiative. Whatever he said at Acts 4:8 was according to the direction of the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, so that's one word. There's another word translated feel. Full of the Holy Ghost. That's the Greek word P-L-E-R-E-S. Pleres, not perez. P-L-E-R-E-S. Matthew what? Matthew 10:18. Okay. So that's the text. Matthew 10:18. Note it down. We'll see it again. Pleres. Pleres. P-L-E-R-E-S. P-L-E-R-E-S. Which is the adjective of the first one. That is the adjective of the first one. So while the first one is a verb, describing the operation of the Spirit, initiating and influencing men to do things, this one is the adjective, which describes a state. You know, when you say somebody is handsome or beautiful, you are not talking about something the person is doing. It's a description of a state. So this is an adjective of the first one. It means to be covered over. To be covered over. It means to have one soul thoroughly permeated with the influence of the Spirit. To have one soul thoroughly permeated with the influence of the Spirit. Now listen, before we go on. You know, I said the first one, every time he says filled with the Spirit, it's because of the action being initiated. So, that is not based on a state. This particular one, it is having your entire soul permeated by the influence of the Spirit. So, it's a state. It is not based on the fact that you are giving a word. We look at it and we say, this man is a man full of the Holy Ghost. Not because you gave a tongue or you gave a prophecy. Hallelujah. It's a manner of life. It's a state. So, it's an adjective. Luke 4:1. Did you get that? This particular one is an adjective describing a state. So that means such a man has a manner of life that is consistently and perpetually under the influence of the Spirit. So where everywhere they said men were full of the Holy Ghost and they used this word, it was not based on anything they were doing. It was just a state. Amen. Based on, you know, observation over time. You know, this person is full of the Holy Ghost. His soul, his entire being is permeated by the Spirit. Luke 4:1. Luke 4:1. Praise God. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in these days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when he had ended, he was hungry. So Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, and you know, he returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Glory to God. He was filled with the Spirit. Look at this other one. Acts 6:3. Acts 6:3. Jesus being filled with the Spirit in that place means it's a manner of life. It's a state. Hallelujah. Not that he was filled with the Spirit only when he was returning from Jordan. It's a state. Acts 6:3. Are we there? Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of what? Of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. You know, they were not doing anything. So if we are to look amongst ourselves to look for men full of the Holy Ghost, it means we are not, it's not based on the fact that he's giving a word now or he's giving prophecy. Over time, they've been known to be men given to the influence of the Spirit. In fact, this is particularly descriptive of spiritual growth. Amen. It's descriptive of what? Spiritual growth, maturity in the Spirit. Amen. So look at the next place. Acts 6:5. Acts 6:5. And the saying pleased the multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. A man full of faith and what? And the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:55. Acts 7:55. It's a state. It's an adjective, so it's a state. So whatever you see happening in their lives was as a result of that state. Acts 7:55. Bible says, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Are you aware this is Stephen? Acts 7:55. You know, but at what point was he full of the Spirit? Was it at the point where he was looking into heaven? You know, he had been described earlier at Acts 6 as a man was full of the Spirit. Glory to God. Acts 11:24. Hallelujah. Bible says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. This was talking about Barnabas. If you read from verse 22, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is an adjective. It's a state. Now the last word. We also have the Greek word, plero. I'm not sure that's the pronunciation actually. But you can take down the spelling. P-L-E-R-O-O. P-L-E-R-O-O. Because sometimes when you have double O like that in the Greek, it may be plero-o. Or, you know, so we're going to confirm that. This is also a verb. P-L-E-R-O-O. That's the last word used for being filled with the Spirit. And you find it at Acts 13:52 and Ephesians 5:18. Acts 13:52, Ephesians 5:18. To be filled with the Spirit. Amen. This is also a verb. Look at Ephesians 5:18. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. This also means to be influenced. It means a complete influence by the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians 5:18. Are you there? Let's read together. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. And what do we see as a result of that feeling? Verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Praise God. So, in this influence, under this influence, you would speak psalms and spiritual songs to one another. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, interestingly, this is the same word used for being filled with the knowledge of God's word. That's the same word. To be filled with the knowledge of God's word. Romans 15:14. Ephesians 3:19. Colossians 1:9. Romans 15:14. Ephesians 3:19. Colossians 1:9. That's the same word. Used for being filled with the knowledge of the word. Glory to God. Now, let's think. If you look at the example of Jesus, Jesus was a man filled with the Spirit, full of the Spirit. What can you see in the life of Jesus, you know, to understand how he came about that state? What were the activities? What did he give himself over to? Huh? God's word. And what? And prayer. What about fasting? Was the fasting about devotion to God's word and prayers? Yes. Look at this now. Luke chapter 2 verse 36. See the example of a woman called Anna. Anna the prophetess. Luke 2:36. Luke 2:36. Glory to God. Luke chapter 2 and verse 36. Are you there? Bible says, now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with what? With fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she spoke She gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. She spoke. You know, what was the speaking about? Was it prophecy? Was that prophecy? Yes. The same thing, you know, just the same way Zechariah spoke about this redemption. So, but why was that woman able to flow in that? See, she served God daily with what? She didn't depart from the temple, and she served God with fastings and what? In prayers. Glory to God. Look at this. So they gave themselves to manifestations, they gave themselves rather to the prayer, to fasting and prayer, and to the ministry of God's word. So when a man hears about manifestation of the Spirit, that reality should drive him to where? God's word and what? And prayers. Glory to God. God's word and what? When you hear about the manifestation of the Spirit, operation of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation, and then ministering, healings, and all that, what should that desire or that reality drive you to? God's word, much study, much prayer, devotion, fasting. Glory to God. The early church prayed till the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. They prayed till when? The day of Pentecost. After the day of Pentecost, Bible says they continued steadfastly in prayers, in doctrine, prayers, and in the breaking of bread. Acts 2:42. Look at Acts 6:4. Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, in prayers. At Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, what does it say? But we'll give ourselves to what? To prayer and to the ministry of the word. Write this down. Prayer is where we receive instructions. Prayer is how we receive instructions. Prayer is how we receive instructions. The man that wants to flow in Jesus, we must be a man of prayer. Prayer is how we receive instructions. The scriptures are for doctrine and general instructions found in scriptures. The scriptures are for doctrine and general instructions. Prayer is how to know what God wants you to do specifically. The scriptures are for doctrine and general instructions. Prayer is where to know what God wants you to do specifically. Glory to God. Keep writing. Prayer is also how to know what God will have a man do. What God would have you tell a man to do. Hallelujah. Prayer is where we know what God will want us to do specifically. Prayer is also how to know what God will have you tell a man to do specifically. Praise God. Prayer is how to know what God will have you do specifically. And prayer is how to know what God will have you tell a man to do specifically. Hallelujah. So at Acts 13:1-2, who gave that word to Paul and Barnabas? Was it Paul and Barnabas? No. Others gave the word to them. It must have been one person. Now when he says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said there is not that everybody was speaking. It will be one person. So, what did the Holy Ghost say to Paul and Barnabas? That it was time, right? How did they find out? Were they praying? Yes. So it was in the place of prayer, they found out what to say to Paul and Barnabas. So, what does that mean? That means if I do away with prayer, I can mislead the saints. Put that down. If I do away with prayer, I can mislead the saints with instructions. Praise God. Instead of saying, it is time for you guys to set out, I can say, you have 10 more years. 10 more years. Or 25 years. Praise God. I can even say you have missed it. You ought to have gone a long time ago. So, if I don't give myself to prayer, I can mislead the saints with instructions. It takes the Spirit to know what God will have me tell men. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's keep writing. It takes the Spirit to know what God will have me say to men. Hallelujah. Now, let's go over the gifts of spirit. Listen now. The gifts of spirit. Tongues, right? Interpretation of tongues. Prophecy. Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. Discerning of spirit. We have mentioned how many? Six. In all the six, how many of them have to do with me saying something to somebody? How many of them? In all the six, how many of them have to do with me telling somebody something verbally? Huh? Okay, let's remove tongues. Interpretation of tongues, do I have to say something? Prophecy, do I have to say something? Word of knowledge, do I have to say something? Word of wisdom, do I have to say something? Praise God. Design of spirit, do I have to say something? Not necessarily. But sometimes you have to say something. So imagine many of those gifts will even require you giving many instructions. Hallelujah. So you can't rely on your senses. It has to be by the Spirit of God. That is how you will not mislead the saints. Glory to God. That is how you will give us instruction, you know, concerning what God will have us do, and it will be God's will. Because if you minister by your own senses, you will minister based on your own sentiments. Amen. You know, at that point in time in the early church, they might have been enjoying Paul's company, Paul and Barnabas. So if people want to give them instruction based on that state, I mean, we tarry here together. Praise God. We are here together for life. Hallelujah. You just give men instructions based on your own sentiments. So it was by the Spirit they knew, no, it was time for these guys to set out on the apostolic mission. Glory to God. You know, I've been in meetings where, not just meetings, I've seen people who every time they come to give a word, it is about money in somebody's account. Some, it is about traveling out. And if you look at the person very well, he has an affinity for traveling. So every time he comes out, I see people leaving. Amen. I see people everywhere. People are scattering everywhere. You are going to Asia. You are misleading the saints. Now, the problem with that is there could be somebody in the church who wants to travel out by his own will, his flesh, seeking greener pastures. The person comes out to give instruction by the flesh also. And the person comes and says, Pastor, that word that came out was for me. Praise God. And you know, it just put us in a fix. Glory to God. So it will take the Spirit to not mislead men. Listen, that is why we stay in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. That is why we stay in the place of prayer. So put this down. The believer is not to minister to men first. He has been called first to minister to the Lord. The believer is not to minister to men first. He has first been called to minister to the Lord. To minister to who? To the Lord. What were they doing in Acts 13:1? They were praying and fasting. Hallelujah. That would include songs too. That would include songs. Praying in tongues. Singing spiritual songs. And they were fasting. That was when they were able to discern the will of God. So you have not been called first to minister to men. You are to minister to the Lord. It is as you minister to the Lord, you receive for men. Hallelujah. It is as you minister to the Lord, you receive for men. Praise God. Hallelujah. It is as you minister to the Lord, you do what? You receive for men. This is not hard, is it? I mean, I'm just ministering to the Lord. And the Holy Ghost will say, amen. Look at how Peter says, I was praying in the city of Joppa. And then I fell into a trance. What was he doing? Praying. So let's stay in prayer. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue endlessly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Continue endlessly in prayer, being what? What does it mean to be vigilant? To be watchful. It means to be awake. That's the word. It means to be awake. So prayer enables us to be what? Awake. Vigilant. That speaks of being sensitive. Amen. It speaks of being sensitive. I'm awake, I'm vigilant, I'm sensitive because I'm a praying man. Glory to God. Because I'm praying. So this is being sensitive to God's spirit. This is a major reason why we are to continue in prayer. Hallelujah. This is a major reason why we are to continue in prayer. The praying man is the man that is sensitive to the workings of the Spirit. The praying man is the man that is sensitive to the workings of the Spirit. Glory to God. The praying man is the man that is sensitive to the workings of the Spirit. Have you noticed that when people are not prayerful, or when they lose out in their fervency, they begin to struggle to walk in the things of the Spirit? Have you noticed? And that's the reason why some people will come for meeting and they cannot flow. What is the problem? Because they are not prayerful. So never assume that you can disconnect yourself from spiritual commitment, fervency in the things of the Spirit, and you will be flowing in the things of the Spirit. That's an irony. Amen. Those that will be effective in ministering the things of the Spirit must first be effective in ministering to the Lord. You must be found in the place of prayer, devotion. Glory to God. Do you know that's what it means to be a servant of God? I mean, are you a servant if you are the one sending yourself on an errand? The servant waits for an instruction. Glory to God. Put this down. This is why we are called servants of Christ. Servants of Christ. Praise God. Servants of Christ. We wait on the Lord in prayer. We wait on the Lord in prayer for instructions. This is why we are called servants of Christ. We wait on the Lord for instructions in the place of prayer. Wait on the Lord for instructions in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Keep writing. So where should I exercise my will? In obedience. Where should I exercise my will? In obedience. In obedience. That is where my will is relevant. Obedience. I've been instructed to pray, study, and sing spiritual songs. I've been instructed to pray, study the word, and sing spiritual songs. So, I should exercise my will in practicing these things. That's my obedience. I feed on the word, I pray, I sing spiritual songs, I do it regularly. I'm taught the word of God. I receive instruction, I receive knowledge, I receive God's word, I'm taught the things of God. And I pray, and I sing spiritual songs. I'm obeying God. That is where my will is relevant. Hallelujah. All these are for edifying me and enabling me to respond to the Spirit. All these are for edifying me and enabling me to respond to the Spirit. All these are for edifying me and enabling me to respond to the Spirit. Glory to God. I'm still writing. Don't get into the driver's seat. You are to follow the Spirit. Don't get into the driver's seat. You are to follow the Spirit. Don't get into the driver's seat. You are to follow the Spirit. Hallelujah. You cannot disconnect the gift from the giver. You cannot disconnect the gift from the giver. Glory to God. You know, that's why we don't seek the gifts. What do we seek? And who do we seek? The giver. We don't look for the gifts. Our focus is on the giver. Our focus is on the Lord. Our focus is not so much on ministry. Our focus is on He that has sent us. Praise God. So you cannot disconnect the gift from the giver. Glory to God. Fervency in the word and prayers is how to stay in the flow. Fervency in the word and in prayers is how to stay in the flow. Amen. So what's the place of our will again? In obedience. What does our obedience entail? Study of the word, prayers, and what? Singing spiritual songs. And you repeat. Praise God. That is it. And I think I've said this before. Look up. That before Paul came on the scene to give a detailed outline of all the gifts of the Spirit, the early church was walking in it. Why? Because they had an emphasis on what? God's word and prayers. You know, the first time I gave a word of knowledge, I had not heard any teaching on word of knowledge. Hallelujah. When I heard a teaching on word of knowledge, it only better, you know, equipped me to understand what I was working in. Because if a man prays and studies the word, and you know, such a man is filled with the Spirit, he will flow in the things of the Spirit. Glory to God. If you are filled with anger, are we going to see results of that? Because it's an influence. So if a man is filled with the Spirit, there will be signs. There will be a result. There will be an overflow or an outflow of that position or that state. Glory to God. So what's the place of our will again? Obedience. What are we to, in what ways are we to obey God? Study of the word. Let me tell you this. A lot of people are just looking for shortcuts. Hallelujah. Many people who quickly jump on the idea of I can just be doing it by myself doesn't want to pray. Or don't want to pray. Such men don't want to labor in the place of prayer. They don't want to spend time in the study of God's word. What do you think happens when you enrich your mind with the word of God? No, I showed you the same word used at Ephesians 5:18 is used for being filled with the knowledge of God's word. A man that is full of God's word, full of, and is given to prayer, such a man is filled with the Spirit. And that is the state you ought to be in to really walk in the things of the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that's right. We wait on the Lord. It is not a religious concept. We wait on the Lord. It is not a religious concept. Waiting on the Lord is not a religious concept. It shows I understand my place as a servant of the Lord. It shows I understand my place as a servant of the Lord. We wait on Him for instructions and directions. We wait on Him for instructions and directions. Glory to God. Wait on Him for instructions and directions. We don't move Him. We allow Him move through us. We don't move Him. We allow Him move through us. Hallelujah. I think back in the early 19th century, a preacher said, if the Holy Ghost doesn't move, I'll move Him. Praise God. I don't know what it means. Praise God. But we don't move the Holy Ghost. We only allow Him move through us. Glory to God. To move the Holy Ghost will mean to move your own thing. Amen. So, in the place where a man comes to say, I need you to pray for me, and for me, I'm believing God for healing, and I lay hands and I pray for that person, I'm exercising believer's authority. But if I'm relying on the operation of the Spirit called the gifts of healings and working of miracles, I don't initiate it. Amen. I wait on the leading of Spirit. Glory to God. Are we clear tonight? So from next week, we are going to now move into discussing the gifts of the Spirit one after the other. We'll take the utterance gift, we'll take the revelation gift, and we'll take the power gift, and we'll see God's mind on those things. Hallelujah. Are you blessed tonight? What is the place of our will again? What is the place of our will again? How do we obey God? You know, many people say, I want to find God's will. I want to know God's will. I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to do that. God should use me. He has already given you instructions. Things to do. As you stay in that, you now find out that obedience will now lead to other things the Lord will have you do. But if you don't start with those ones, you're already in disobedience. Praise God. So when you start with those ones, you are faithful in prayer, faithful, you know, in the study of the word of God and spiritual things generally. That is when you are positioning yourself to receive of the Lord to minister to others. So you must start with obeying what has been instructed us in the word of God. Glory to God. Lift your hands and give Him praise. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm obedient. I'm obedient. I stay in the word. I'm not an initiator of the move of the Spirit. I only stay in my place as a servant of the Lord. I will speak what the Lord will have me speak. I will speak to him whom the Lord will have me minister to. I'll reach out to the one whom the Lord has sent me to. I don't determine the operations. I only determine when I minister the things I receive by the Spirit of God. I stay in obedience. That's my place. Obedience. Obedience in the place of prayer. I stay ministering to the Lord so I can minister to others. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands and give him praise. Lift your hands and give him praise. No pressures. No pressures. Come on. No pressures. The operation of the Spirit comes so seamlessly and effortlessly. You don't premeditate. You don't preempt. No premonitions. It just comes. Hey! Jesus. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Make sure you are praying. Pray why? Thank you, Jesus. You know, as we're studying things of the Spirit, manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost can inspire a song that has nothing to do with manifestation of the Spirit. Hallelujah. He can inspire a song that just sings about the glory of God. He can inspire a song that just sings about the beauty of His grace. We're talking about the operation of the Spirit. You know, if by my senses, I will not want to do a song that talks about manifestation. No, it doesn't have to be that way. It can inspire a song about the goodness of God. It can inspire a song about the coming of the Lord Jesus. It is as by the Spirit. It is His prerogative. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to see more and more operations of the Spirit of God. More operations of the Spirit of God. So the man of God will learn to be subject to the move of the Spirit. You are not a master. You are the servant. You are subject to the move of the Spirit. You don't have mastery over the move of the Spirit. At the very best, you are meant to submit yourself to it. You are meant to submit yourself to it. As the Lord wills. As the Spirit wills. Hey! You have made me a sanctuary, pure and holy, perfect and true, with thanksgiving. I am a living, hey, sanctuary for you, say you have made me, you have made me, I sent you, you're an holy Lord,
you're holy, perfect and true,
hey, with thanksgiving.
You have made me a sanctuary, your and only, happen and true, with thanksgiving. I am a living sanctuary. Oh.
Jesus.
I'm pure and holy.
Pure and true.
Perfect and true.
Witness given. I am a living.
I am a living.
Listen up. Now I see a case of what's the word now? A case of, I'm looking for the word. What I want to say is in my mind, but I'm looking for the word. A case of, is it roping somebody? Hallelujah. What did they use? What did they say when they say implicated? Hallelujah. I see a case of an implication which will lead to arrest. Which will lead to, you know, talking about arrest, police and all that. That is meant to come up for somebody. But you know, the power of the Lord has gone ahead to bring about the change. Hallelujah. It's meant to be very tough. Something you may not be able to get out of, but the power of the Lord has gone ahead of you and has brought about a change. You testify. Lift your hands and give Him praise. Be open to the things of spirit tonight. If you have a word, an inspiration, a word, a leading, an instruction for someone, the church, be free. Oh, I just said what I saw. That's all. I just said what I saw. It was meant to be very, very grave and difficult to get out of. But the power of the Lord has gone ahead of you and brought about the change. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, some of you, as we close the meeting tonight, you would have instructions for people. Instructions for people, not premeditated. It will just come. Don't hesitate to give that instruction. Some of you have instructions for the church. Put on the WhatsApp group. As we close the meeting tonight, it will flood your mind. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for His word. Thank God for your spirit, Lord. Thank God for the spirit at work in us. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.